is my pleasure to present...
Good morning and welcome to the Carmichael Dave Show, starring Carmichael Dave, Jay Mars, and your phone calls on the Fire Wings hotline at 1-800-920-1140. Text in on the Jiffy Lube text line at 44-1140. Now, strap in and sit down. Here's Carmichael Dave.
And we welcome you in hour number two. Four pair remaining?
Three.
Three pair Eric Church tickets to give away today. So, hey.
Did you notice how I put it in big, bold letters on the rundown since?
I saw it.
I mean, I'll take half the blame for it and give you the other half. This week has been
that's
something.
That's fine. Friday should always be giveaway day. Shout out to my wife's knee doctor. Went to her appointment yesterday. He's great.
Is there a technical term for a knee doctor?
I think it's an orthopedist. I don't know.
I thought that was a foot doctor.
Something surgeon, orthopedic surgeon. I don't know. No,
a foot doctor's a podiatrist. Huh.
Yeah. Anyways, he's a good dude, but he's just looking at her knee and he's pressing on it, doing all this hurt, this hurt. And no. Yes, that hurts. Oh, that's not good. Literally. That's not good. This is post-surgery, mind. That's not good. Just a lot of, yeah, that's, God, that's not good. I don't like that. And my wife's I'm sitting next to her, and
I'm sure she's staying very calm.
She's like, what do you mean? What's not good? What do you mean? Now, it turns out she's probably going to have a follow-up surgery in September that will shelf her for 7 to 10 months.
Lucky her.
This last surgery they took, this is what technology can do. They took a piece of her cartilage out of her knee and put it in a Ziploc bag, send it to a lab where it's currently growing. And they will then, it'll be ready in another month.
Like stem cell?
I don't know. I don't think so. I think they're just growing cartilage in its own. And then after another month, it'll be ready. They're going to put the cartilage back onto her knee. Her own cartilage, mind you. Not a cadaver, none of that. Her own cartilage.
This sounds, I'm sure this is like normal for like people with these injuries, but this is the first I'm hearing
it's
about
called it. It's a Macy procedure.
So it sounds like super like, wow, dude, you must have like access to the top doctors
world. It's all covered by cartilage. It's all covered by insurance. I mean, it's believe
awesome.
Me.
We're not, I'm not saying it's not.
Anyways, we also shout out to him too. We were going to play a little bit of golf afterwards, my wife and I, just to because her knee sucks, so she, And he notices I'm wearing my old Grant Napier golf tournament shirt, right?
Oh, I'm sure that didn't spark any conversation.
As we're leaving, he goes, hey. He goes, you know Grant? I go, yeah. He goes,
I've heard of him.
Hey, tell him, if you know him, tell him I said hi. Okay.
I mean, you had the mask, I'm sure you,
my wife looked at me and I just gave her kind of a little no. Just leave it.
It's so good.
Do you know him? Yeah. Yeah, a little bit. Shout out to my wife's doctor. All right, Soundgarden.
Soundgarden. The cuts and clips that are catching our eye today. Soundgarden. It's time to go round the world with Soundgarden.
For a guy who's 32 and people are ready to write you off, how are you feeling right now? And how do you expect to answer those folks?
At the end of the day, I believe in me. I know what I have in the tank. And we're talking about ages, 32. I'm young. Like in football, you can say it's old, but you either do it or you don't. This game don't change for me. I'm still fast and still strong. And to, the games last year, I just, had an issue where I didn't take enough time to heal up properly. But, that was just my decision on going out there and just playing. There's no excuses, things like that, but I'll be ready to go. So for those who are questioning my health and things like that, just stay tuned.
I hear what Julio's saying. And I'm with him. I would also present the following. What's he going to say? Well, I am 32. And you know how it goes generally in football. If you're not a quarterback and you hit 30, that's off a cliff. 99% of the time, you're falling off a cliff. Am I the normal wide receiver that falls off the cliff in his early 30s? Or maybe I'm Larry Fitzgerald and I can keep going and going and going. But my best days are behind me and I'm just trying.
Wow.
I'm just trying. No. I'm saying.
You've been a big Julio skeptic the last several months.
I'm not saying I agree with that. I'm saying what is he going to say to that? What is he going to say? It's like Kevin Durant. Is that a real question?
You know what? I wish he would have done that. I wish he would have totally been like, yeah, I get it. A lot of 32-year-olds at skill positions struggle, but I'm Julio Jones, you know what? Like, I am the one person.
Uh-huh.
Like, how are you going to doubt me? Right. Yeah, I played 9 games last year hurt, but I was still really good.
Yeah.
All I'm saying is a healthy Julio Jones is going to have a monster year in Tennessee. Mark it down.
Think so.
On your calendar. Okay. Well, June 11, 2021. Big statement from me.
I'll tell you what. Either he or A.J. Brown are going to have monster years. One of them is going to benefit a lot from this.
Or they both do.
By the way, to the YouTube chat, let me answer this real quick. We are going to Disneyland next week. They're asking, how's my wife with her knee going to be getting around? She's going to do the old-fashioned walking. They said, why don't you get her a cart? Go ahead and research Disneyland and those carts. Let me just put it this way, and we got to move on. Apparently, for a long period of time, people were renting out handicapped folks. And the idea was you take them to Disneyland and they are a stunt double, and that would get you to the front of the line.
It's a hell of a hustle.
This is a real thing that happened that they had to crack down on. So, no, you don't get to just go to the front of the lines.
You know how many times we tried that with my grandma to convince her, hey, go to Disneyland?
Those are the worst people.
We're pretty bad, but also we're going to have a much more enjoyable experience than all of y'all playing by the rules.
That's like instant hell. And also, shout out to Chris Guerrero. For once, every once in a while, 1 out of 100 times, he just said to Rudy, who's fresh back, he said, hey, did you see my drawing on the timeout wall?
Soundgarden.
That's well done. Hey, Kyle Shanahan's talking to the media. What do you know?
Hey, Kyle, when you say you guys were having a clean camp, are you kind of done? Are you going to do any more OTAs? And is mini camp still going to go on next week?
No, we're totally done. We really finished up our exit meetings today, really, with everybody. We're still going to keep the rookies around here for a little bit, some more than others. I kind of decided a while ago we weren't going to do mini camp. You know, I rarely do mini camp when we get 9 OTAs in. We usually do one practice, and then we have, like, a team-building thing throughout that. And I decided earlier in this if we could get our OTAs in, I wasn't going to keep them for mini camp because it's a week longer than usual. I like the guys to get away for 40 days, and we started a week later this year than usual. The whole league did, so they only would have gone away for like 32 days, and I think that does add up. So we had such a big turnout too. Yeah, and I know there was some question around a lot of people around the league. So I didn't know if we didn't have a big turnout, I obviously would have kept those guys because I know we had to get some work in. But, I mean, we really had 89 people show up to OTAs, which was unbelievable.
Yeah. I think they had literally everybody showed up at one point. Not everyone participated, but everyone showed up at one point.
Here's my response to what he just said. Sorry, Kyle. None of that's happening because the Niners, one day after canceling the remainder of their full team offseason workout program, the NFL decided to step in and cancel the last week of the Niners rookie development program over a practice rules violation. Apparently one of the players posted on his IG or something a video of this, which I don't know how that's allowed, and I have a feeling that player is in a little bit of trouble. Few observers around the team figured Diamador.
This is called show prep, folks.
Lenoir? I don't know. Dude, that's a tough name. Playing bump and run technique before making an interception during a drill at a rookie workout last month. The CBA between the league and the players union stipulates offseason workouts like the rookie camp cannot include live contact, specifically bump and run. Maybe don't allow video being taken by your players.
To be fair, I don't think they allowed it. I think it just kind of happened.
Well, I wonder if whoever is going to be around this year. You know how to say it?
Yes.
Oh, I say it.
I can't. We're out of time.
Oh, we're out of time. Okay, yeah. We'll take a break.
That was nice. Coming up next.
Are Kyler Murray's days as the quarterback of the Arizona Cardinals numbered?
Swing bada bada.
Is he hearing the call of the wild, if you will? Also, we got a couple of 2-0 series. And Nate Diaz is back. We'll talk about that right after this.
1, 2, 3. It's 3 for Madness time. 3 for Madness. 3 questions, 3 answers.
1, 2, 3. Woo!
It's 3 for Madness. Here's question 1.
All right, coming up at the bottom of the hour, we'll finally get to the Pete Alonso spider tack. Is it a tinfoil hat thing or not? I don't know. Did you see the clip from the lady at the Ohio City Council meeting that was sticking a key to her forehead and a bobby pin to her neck saying the vaccines had magnetized her? It's going around.
That's real?
Oh, no, it's very real.
Where in Ohio did that happen?
I don't know. Probably Columbus. Anyways.
Hey, if it's dumb, it happens in Ohio. It's definitely Columbus.
And while she's talking to the city council, the key falls off her forehead.
Of course it does.
You know.
Glad the 5G left her so that the key could fall off.
She talked about that. It's triangulating them for the 5G. You know, I always want
These are elected officials. Like, people actually said...
No, she was a member of the... She was a person.
Oh, I thought it was a city council member. I was going to be like, people voted for them.
But we did have a senator the other day ask, I think somebody in NASA... Again, this is true. You can look it up.
I saw this.
I think it was a senator or a congressperson. Ask if to help out global warming.
Did you say senator or congress?
Or congressperson. if to help
you know
out...
the Senate's part of Congress, right?
You know, a representative... if we could somehow move the orbit, adjust the orbit of the moon to help, you know.
Yeah, I know.
Like they do. Maybe you could line up all the people that have been vaxxed and have them magnetized, have their magnetic pull on the moon. Maybe that would do it, Jay. Question one.
Boy.
Yeah.
Sorry, I got to mentally prepare myself after all of that.
Be a little magnetized.
Yeah, Kyler Murray, you may have heard of him, quarterback of the Arizona Cardinals, is, quote, leaving the door open to playing baseball. As most of you might recall, Kyler Murray, a first-round pick of the Oakland A's. Will we ever see Kyler Murray in an A's uniform?
I mean, ever is a big question, ever.
Right, that's why I asked
an A's uniform. Big show. You could have had fun and said, will we ever see, you could add some technicality.
In a Dodgers uniform.
But will we ever see Kyler Murray in an Oakland A's uniform.
Wow, I'm not trying to be a jerk this morning.
Okay, I'm just asking. Not anytime soon. Because Arizona's got very specific things in that contract. And no, you cannot. This is not a Deion Sanders, Bo Jackson situation.
I'm glad you brought that up.
Thank you.
That exact situation is why at some point, maybe in his next contract, you're going to see Kyler Murray be a two-way player at least 1 year, and let me tell you why.
Okay.
Think about how in this day and age, athletes are more than just playing their sport. They are brands.
Yeah.
How much money off of like endorsements, commercials, did Bo Jackson and Deion Sanders make back in their day being two-way athletes? We haven't seen one really since Deion. I think we're ready for Kyler to do that. And I think he is going to make so much money just because it's so taboo in this day and age. We haven't seen it in over 20 years. I think there's a ton of money from a marketing standpoint to make for Kyler Murray to be a two-way athlete.
Okay. I mean, all right. You say that.
Well, I feel like you just called me dumb without saying it.
I don't. Maybe like when he's 36, it'll be fun and he'll show up at AAA camp. And yeah, I think those days are over. Number two.
Question two.
Better chance of coming back from being down 2-0, the Nuggets or the Clippers?
I got to say the Clippers because those games have been closer.
Right.
And I have to forget about the fact that the Phoenix Suns are doing what we usually don't see, which is a team that hasn't been in the playoffs forever is now steamrolling through the playoffs. But other than the Nets, really, it's the Jazz and the Suns that have been the most dominant teams in the playoffs. And you could argue the Suns have been more dominant because they dispatched the Lakers and now they're on the Nuggets in the MVP. I do think I don't think either will be a sweep. But you are very confident Denver will win game three, and I'm not saying you're wrong at all. But the Clippers managed to make both of those road games incredibly close. Home court advantage does. And then again, for the Clippers, maybe that's the thing. What we saw in the last series with the Mavericks, maybe the Jazz are going to sweep the Clippers. And we're thinking about this wrong because apparently the Clippers know how to win on the road in the playoffs. They're better on the road in the playoffs.
Or the other side of that argument is the Clippers also know how to come back from being down 2-0.
That's a great point right there.
I agree with you. I think it's the Clippers. They have more firepower on that team, more superstar talent. No, obviously Nikola Jokic aside, just when you look at the Clippers roster, they're deeper. I think the Nuggets will win game three. I do not think they'll win the series. I think they'll win game three.
Sure.
I think the Clippers still have a shot to win this Western Conference series.
I am absolutely not counting them out.
And you know what? If they do, I am so here for all of the Jazz fans to Kawhi me a river when they lose.
Okay. Okay. Number number three.
There's also a Paul Bear joke to make with Paul George. Yeah. Should I go there or no?
No.
No?
Please. Number three.
All right.
Question three.
Hey, Speaking of fighting and all that good stuff, not that we were talking about it before, yeah. Nate Diaz is back.
Hey.
Stockton's finest.
Yeah.
Repping the 209.
Yep.
Who do you got tomorrow night?
Well,
Diaz or Edwards?
Doesn't matter what
Diaz
I think.
Diaz next, yeah. Because you just put that for some reason.
I did what?
At the end of the question, you just put Diaz next. Why?
Oh, my answer to you this morning when we were going back and forth in separate locations on the rundown was Diaz next.
Oh, yeah. Well, you forgot a comma, so
I
it
did,
says Diaz
I did.
Next.
That's why punctuation's important. I will take Nathan Diaz for many reasons. One, I think he's going to win. Number two, we're in the same market, and I know for an absolute fact some of his people listen to this show.
Oh.
They do.
Can you have them maybe have him call in?
Yeah, I've been asked that a lot.
Now I'll keep my finger next to the dump button.
Well, I was just going to say, we will, and let me be clear here, I say this with all love and respect to Nate, because Nate would show up at my house and be like, what were you saying, dude?
Yeah, no,
like,
he's that guy.
as Doug says, Nate is about that life. Here's the thing. I've had Nate Diaz on my programs a few times. I will never have him on again unless it's recorded. It's not his fault, dude. He just is incapable of knowing he's on the radio. And we did that at night, and it was this is a true story. I had to put Nate on hold for about 20 seconds to build our dump button back up.
Right.
Because it's just, he says swear words like you and I say the, and it's fine. It's just,
it's not good for the radio.
We have rules. We have to get Nate back on. Nate's well rested. The Diaz brothers are always in shape. They're constantly, this is what they do. They smoke weed and they run. They do triathlons. It's what they do. If there were no
smoke weed, do triathlons, beat people up.
That's it. Slap people around. Nate Diaz is wonderful for the sport in the sense that he puts eyes on it. His fights are always fun. And it's not a Diaz fight if there's not a ton of blood. I fully expect Nate to get tagged a few times. I expect this fight to look like Nate's going to lose. I expect Nate to get knocked down a couple of times. And then I expect Nate, as he often does, and much of it is because of that cardio.
Right.
I don't want to go too technical, but here's the deal. Typical Nate Diaz fight. You tag Nate Diaz a few times, and naturally, as a fighter, the adrenaline goes, and you think, I'm going to finish this guy, and you go in with haymakers ready to finish him, and you punch yourself pretty much out. As the fight continues, and a bloodied, bruised, one-eye-closed Nate Diaz is still walking at you going, come on, get over here. Something happens in your mind where you're like, I've hit him with everything, and he's still coming at me, and he's lost a pint of blood, and I'm really tired, and the lactic acid in my arms is making it tough to punch. And Nate's like, stick and move, stick and move, stick and move. I can do this, I can do that. I'm fresh, I could go 12 more rounds. Yeah, I think Nate's going to win. This is a good card. These are two championship rematches on the card as well. Let's not forget Adesanya Vettori and Nelson Figueiredo, who did bad things to my dear friend Joseph Benavidez, but I have to respect it even though he outweighed him by a bit. Rematching against Moreno. I expect both title fights will stay. Both title belts will stay with the title holders.
Is it a pay-per-view tomorrow?
It is a pay-per-view. Okay. And let's
UFC 794?
Isn't it 269? I think 263. And Damian Maia is still fighting Bilal Muhammad on that card, too. It's a good card. It's a fun card. I will get it. I'm very much looking forward to it. So, yep, there you go. We will take a break. Oh, we will not take... Oh!
No, we're going to take a break.
Okay,
but it's not your average normal break, because we don't do average or normal on this show.
One last note about Nate Diaz before we do take a break, though. I will say this. He's rich. He's king of the 209. He's not going to have to... work for the rest of his life if he doesn't want to. But if there's any doubt at all, he still has that inner flame, that inner fire to keep going. Rest assured, not the case with him. Probably because he uses Cinch. Mm-hmm. I would guess that. I think Cinch delivers to the 209. I have to get the map out. Weekend's here. Have a can of soda. My old friend George, you're almost set. Keep it clean for the kids. And a lot of grilling, a lot of chilling, a lot of fire pitting, a lot of space heatering. Make sure your propane is taken care of. Cinch.com, C-Y-N-C-H, a propane exchange program. I mean, it's not really a propane exchange. It's a propane delivery service. You exchange tanks. You put your used and empty tanks on your front porch. The Cinch person comes by, grabs the empty tanks, leaves you brand new, nice, clean tanks. Not ratty old cobwebby tanks. Nice, clean tanks. It's important. And it's all for less than what you pay at the gas station. I talk about Cinch almost every day. I know to longtime listeners, it's repetitive, but we got a lot of new listeners each and every day, and I want them to know it's not a secret. It's not exclusive to us. Except for the promo code. Use promo code Dave right now when you go to Cinch, and your first exchange, $10. That's it. That's cheap. Try it out. You won't be disappointed. Cinch.com, C-Y-N-C-H. Cinch.com. Promo code Dave. We'll take a break.
Yeah! That was nice.
Coming up next.
Already at the bottom of the hour. All right. The A's lose. The Jazz and Bucks win. And we've got some sound for you we'll lead off with. Marvin Bagley and Tyrese Halliburton, both on podcasts, both saying things. We'll do that right after our halftime roundup next.
If you want a unique angle on a topic that no one in their right mind would think of, you're in the right place. The Carmichael Dave Show returns now.
All right, coming up this segment, Marvin Bagley and Tyrese Halliburton were on two separate podcasts, talking a little bit about their careers this past season in Sacramento. Tyrese has a very funny clip. It's long. It's 2 minutes, but it's very informative, but also kind of hilarious.
Are you going to give us a subject matter? Or that give it away?
No, I wouldn't give it away. His first year in the NBA and some thoughts.
Really?
And about guys being able to play basketball.
Good to see MC show up in the chat. I knew that would do it. It's a surefire way to get MC in the chat. Walk in.
It's the most triggering thing for him is when I put the video on and you're not in that chair.
Snowflake MC. Snowflake MC is a great name, by the way. It's a fantastic name for him. Should we get to halftime?
Sure.
We got a lot to get to.
You guys suck. That's how my coach used to get me fired up at halftime.
It's halftime. As we get into the second half of the show, here's what we've been looking at so far and what we'll be talking about next.
Into Durant. Durant out front takes a three-pointer. No good! Bucks win! It's in the bank. The Bucks prevail 86-83. They live for Sunday.
They live for all. Sunday.
Don't we all?
Hey. I said earlier, I had asked Jay why they didn't play four quarters. Why'd they play three? Apparently, they played four quarters. I was watching. I thought maybe I missed an entire quarter.
Nope.
Because how in the year of our Lord 2021, how is it that an NBA playoff game, by the way, between two teams that know how to score the basketball points?
Lots of them, actually. All the points.
How is it that you can have a score like that? Here's what is absolutely bonkers with a capital B about that, Jay. 86-83 is your final, right? Looking at the points per game leaders in the NBA this year. The top scoring team in the NBA at 120.1 points per game. The Milwaukee Bucks. The number two highest scoring team in the NBA at 118.6 points per game. The Brooklyn Nets.
So, quick
they're
arithmetic.
Playing each other
quick
right
arithmetic.
Now.
The two best scoring teams in the NBA played each other and held each other to under 90 points.
86-83. If that doesn't underline for you that you're not going to do anything in the playoffs if you can't play defense, I hope that every member of our Sacramento Kings watching these playoffs, wishing they could be featured and talked about by all the big announcers, I hope all of them watching this go, they think, you know, defense can be boring, it can be monotonous, it's not flashy, but 86-83. the two highest scoring teams in the league. Great game. Fun game. I thought that Durant shot was going in at the end. I think
everyone did.
Everybody did.
Dude, imagine missing a shot in the playoffs at the buzzer. Can't relate.
Can't do it. Number two.
Halftime.
Gobert steals it, and the Jazz are up 2-0. 117-111 is the final score.
Yeah, so 117-111. That was some scoring. Those teams scored. And had you asked me...
By the way, those teams scored with the Defensive Player of the Year on the floor.
That's what's so fun and goofy about the NBA playoffs. Now, don't get me wrong. The Jazz and Clippers can both score points. They're 5th and 10th, respectively, in scoring this year. But you have the Defensive Player of the Year in Rudy Gobert and a team that stresses defense. On the other side, you have Paul George, Kawhi Leonard, Patrick Beverley.
All known to be relatively decent defenders.
Very, very good defenders, and a Defensive Player of the Year in Kawhi Leonard. And that's the high-scoring game.
Yeah.
That's what's so awesome about
the
playoffs.
Get it together, Bucks and Nets. That's what we're saying.
Like, if I had said to you yesterday, hey, listen, which game's going to score more, Milwaukee, Brooklyn, or Utah and the Clippers? I would have put, if
Milwaukee,
I had to,
Brooklyn. Anybody would have put money on that.
It would have put, yeah.
There's no person in this world. I'm sorry, internet guy.
Yeah.
Oh, no. You know, if you look at the deep analytics and go to cleaning the glass, right. You clearly would have thought that the Clippers and the Jazz would obviously outscore the Nets in the box.
Right.
Come on.
One more note on that, just it should be said. The Utah Jazz third in the league, only behind the Knicks and the Lakers in points allowed. The Clippers fourth. So the number one and number two scoring teams in the league, 86-83. The number three and number four defensive teams in the league, you know, one whatever the hell to 117-111. All right, number three.
Halftime.
So here's the ground ball. They pinned it a short right to Lopez. He's got it. Flips to first. This game is over. So the Royals come back, and they take the first game of the series by the final of 6-1.
Yeah, so 6-1 the final. The A's can't win every single game. 6-1 the final. Mike Meyer beats Frankie Montas and friends. The good news is the A's, because the Astros lost, the A's still maintain a one-game lead over Houston, a six-game lead over the Mariners and the Angels. Also, one note that's rather important. The Giants lose a half game. The Dodgers now a game and a half back. I believe the Padres were idle. They're 2.5 back. Of the Giants. The Giants were scheduled to play the Nationals yesterday. That game was rained out, and I forget which Giants person just tweeted it out, but apparently it hasn't stopped raining in Washington, and it's not supposed to stop raining in Washington until tomorrow.
Triple header, anybody?
Yeah, so, you know, nothing.
Four inning games, that'd be awesome.
Certainly nothing official. But that game scheduled for 4:05 today, and maybe they get it in.
I don't think so.
Doesn't sound like they will.
It's not just like a little bit of rain. I follow some of the Giants reporters on Twitter. Apparently, it is like a downpour of epic proportions.
Yeah, it's not just like sprinkles.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, Max Scherzer versus Anthony Desclafani. Desclafani's kind of fallen off a little bit in his last couple starts, but still 5-2 with a 3.51 ERA. Very, very, very respectable. Max Scherzer just automatic every year. 5-4, 2.22 ERA.
What if the Nationals, who've kind of not been good this year or last year after winning the World Series, what if they're going to try to get off of Max Scherzer at the deadline? I doubt it, but it wouldn't be the worst idea.
You could see that at some point.
Because it's not going to be Strasburg. He's always hurt.
Yeah. And Max isn't exactly, you know, he's 36, dude.
You're a Giants fan. They've got some nice prospects. Let's say Max Scherzer. No.
Nope. No. Because I can tell you right now, Farhan Zaidi needs to do one thing and one thing only. He needs to scan the league, and he does need a pitcher, but he needs a closer.
I agree.
You got to find a lights-out closer. There are very rare moments where you can look at a baseball team in June and you can assess exactly. I'm not saying it's their only need. I'm saying it is their biggest need
for sure.
They need a lights out automatic can be for a closer. So they need to scan your bottom rung teams. And by the way, you can get closers off and on really for
not much.
Right. And not for nothing. I'm not entirely sure. I'm going to use about six double negatives here. I'm not entirely sure I wouldn't look at. I know it's early, but with the stuff, I might see how the kid does in that role for a quick second. Sam Long.
He's going to get an opportunity.
I might give him an opportunity, just a one-off, and see how he does.
He has nasty stuff.
Nasty stuff. And he has what you have to have as a closer. He has a phenomenal out pitch.
Yeah. No, he's a strikeout artist.
That curveball drops out of nowhere. The movement is insane. Plus, he can hit 95, 96. The problem is he's a prospect. He's still young. Obviously, you'd prefer in most cases to have that guy throwing 200 innings for you if that's how it's going to turn out, be a nice rotational starter, but maybe not this year. And if Sam Long, it's a mentality thing, as mm-hmm. you know, for relievers, but that kid's been through a lot.
Yeah.
If you could slide him in there and see if I have no doubts that Sam Long has the stuff to be a fantastic major league closer. And not a bad living either, by the way.
No, not at all.
You're not pitching 200 innings a year. You're pitching 81 to 100 innings a year at most.
No, but you also have the most pressure of anybody
on
the team.
And if you can do that, if you can go in there and make it, and that's a lot of pressure to be a rookie. So it's even more. It's almost indescribable pressure to be a rookie and be a closer. But stranger things have happened. If I'm Gabe Kapler, I've already had these conversations, and sure. I had a lot of them after the last game where he made his debut. And I'm thinking, you know what? Of all the folks we have on the staff right now, this kid might have the best stuff in terms of being a closer on the staff. We just have to find out if he's mentally up to snuff doing that.
Yeah, and I wouldn't be shocked if he gets a couple spot closes there if they work him in. However, to your initial point, I think Farhan will be looking at the trade deadline to address that position, because that is really the one weakness on this team.
That is the biggest glaring weakness.
If they get that addressed, and I'm a big fan of picking up insurance bats at the deadline, because you never know who's going to fall off a cliff going into the last stretch of the season. Mm-hmm. If they can do that, and they have the pieces to move for that, for any of those moves. As long as the deadline is approaching, the Giants are either in first place or hovering right around first place, I think they're going to be very active at the deadline, and they should be.
They have
no reason not to be.
I think so. It just becomes a situation where, you know, they just built that up. They just built all that back up. I'm talking about the farm system.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, I'm just kind of cruising right now. I mean, Jake McGee has 12 saves. I hear that, and the problem is a lot of these. You know, Ian Kennedy of the Rangers might be an interesting guy to go after, longtime starter, but he's also sitting on 12 saves, and he's also saved 92% of the games he's been put in. Right now, Alex Reyes and Josh Hader. Josh Hader is probably the best closer in the game. If not, he's. I mean, Mark Melanson.
Unless he's playing the Dodgers.
Liam Hendricks is doing lights out with the White
Sox.
Do
you really want to try the Melanson thing again?
Nope. No, God, no.
But he's been really good since leaving the Giants.
He has been really good, but I think we've gone down that road already.
Boy, I remember that signing. They gave him big money. That was going to solve all the bullpen issues until it didn't, 2 weeks into the season.
Some of that wasn't his fault with it. You know, he had injury issues, but it certainly didn't work out. It wasn't as bad as I remember old Jim Johnson with the A's coming over from the Orioles. We've got some audio that Jay has put together. Which would you like to get to first?
Let's go with the Marvin audio first, because Tyrese's audio is a little longer.
Marvin Bagley was on a Complex Sports podcast yesterday, and it intrigued Jay and I both because they headlined it as, you know, Marvin Bagley talks about, you know, showing the haters this and that and whatever. And anyways, here's Marvin. Jay went and listened to the whole thing. I listened to half of it until Jay called me and said, I listened to the whole thing. I went, okay, well, then you've done the job. So I haven't heard this yet. Here's Marvin Bagley on that podcast.
Oh, you wanted me what? Which audio clip did you want me? I can do it.
I
just didn't know where you wanted me to go with it.
I didn't know I had. I apologize. I got it.
Yeah, no, it's in daily audio.
I got
for
it right
show.
Here. Here's Marvin Bagley talking about empty arenas due to COVID.
It's very different. I would say that.
It's not fun to watch with no fans.
It is a missing element.
My first time playing was like we played Golden State and then we had cardboard like cutouts in the crowd and it was just like they had the crowd noise. But when we started playing, it was like, yo, this is weird. Like it's like nobody here. You got the noise, but it's like.
Then they get to Twitter. And Marvin Bagley talking about NBA fans on Twitter.
Man, I think so. I think I would agree with that. Giannis is a great player. We played him. Every time we played him, it's a good matchup. It's a great matchup. At the end of the day, Twitter, NBA Twitter, all the media, it's whatever. Like, it's like, if we're really being honest, I mean, a lot of those guys don't know what, you know, the hell they're talking about. So, but the real people that are around basketball and study basketball and know the game, they know what's up. So Giannis is a great player.
Marvin Bagley on De'Aaron Fox.
No, I mean, y'all not wrong.
Hey, there we go. All right. De'Aaron, we got ourselves in the back there. Okay.
De'Aaron is, you know, fast, probably one of the quickest guards in the league. We get out and get running and, you know, it's good to be able to run alongside, you know, him and just how he plays the game, creating and creating for his teammates. It's good to have, you know, that type of, you know, guard on your team to run, you know, run a team, be able to take control of the team, be able to, you know, see things before they happen. So it's just, you know, it's great to be able to play along Fox, and I think y'all got it right with having him.
Well, thank you very much. We appreciate that.
What he's referring to, they had put them in the top 10 point guards.
Which
Marvin agreed.
That's his guy. Listen, it's a good, fun interview. Couple more clips here. This one I was interested in. Has Marvin gotten starstruck in the NBA?
Yeah, no. I mean, for me, I watched Giannis a lot growing up. I just like how he plays. I like how he can, you know, create for his teammates. He attack off the dribble was just, you know, aggressive. I watched his game a lot. When we played Milwaukee, I was like, yo, like it's crazy because like I was learning. For me, I was watching when I wasn't in the game, when he was in the game, just still being able to watch up close finally, like not just through TV, film, but like being able to see him up close and watch how he plays the game, like just studying that. That's one guy that I would say that I liked, you know, studying and watching. And
also, the class of 2018, does that motivate Marvin?
No, first of all, I'm happy for those guys. You know, just seeing them, you know, be doing well, and I'm happy to see that. But for me, I would say my biggest thing is just compete with myself, you know, making sure every day that I'm better than I was the day before. Just having a bigger picture in my mind, in the back of my mind, you know, going through this whole thing, you know, it's a lot of ups and downs. Like, as I said, you know, with my first, you know, 3 years in the NBA, it's a lot of ups and downs. So just having a bigger picture in your mind and sticking with that, not getting off track and not getting distracted by certain things. That's my mindset. And I think, you know, if I stay with the program and, you know, keep doing what I'm supposed to be doing, I'll get to, you know, where I want to be. I'll be, you know, in the playoffs. I'll be playing, you know, doing all the things that I have, you know, on my goal list that I haven't checked off yet. For me, it's just about following the plan. Like I said, I'm happy for those guys. You know, I want nothing but success for those guys, and it's good to see that. So, you know, I'm just keep going, and I'll be where I'm supposed to be.
Are you one of the guys? Can you watch the playoffs? Or are you like, you can't watch? You're like, I got to tune out.
I don't know what he's going to say here.
I do.
You do, so you can't play. Think he's watching the playoffs. I'm going to guess he's watching the playoffs.
I love watching it. Even if I'm okay, not, it hurts. Like, for me, it's like, damn, like, when I watch it, I was watching the Phoenix game the other day, and I was just watching the whole game, like, damn, like I'm trying to really get there. Like I'm trying to get to the playoffs. Yeah. I'm trying to compete. Like that, you know, it's it just, it's that part of it. But then again, it's a part of it where I like watching because, like I said, it's always something that I can learn and pick up. So I like watching and studying the game and just seeing different things that I can learn and get better at, even if I'm not playing, even if I want to be there, you know, as bad as I want to be, you know, just still learning, you know, taking bits and pieces from everybody that I'm watching and just kind of trying to put it in my game.
And you got plenty of your Dukies in the playoffs, so you can root for those guys.
Yes. Yes, sir. Oh,
for sure. I'm excited for those guys.
All right. So that's Marvin Bagley showing up on that podcast. He has new music coming out, too, I believe.
He has a single dropping today.
Yeah. I know Kings fans don't want to hear that, so I'm not trying to bring anything down on Marvin. It's good to hear his voice, and I think every Kings fan right now is having a very similar thought. Nobody dislikes Marvin. We're all rooting for Marvin, and it's all just please be healthy. Be healthy.
Please.
I love that he's watching the game, picking stuff up.
And I'm sure Marvin wants to be healthy, by the way.
I am 100% convinced Marvin Bagley wants to be healthy. All right. We went from Marvin Bagley talking about the 2018 draft class. That's a great transition into Tyrese Haliburton. This was on the Old Man and the Three podcast yesterday, talking about his own draft class and the early success.
We got a lot of guys that, you know, were given opportunities early in their careers and are taking advantage of it. And I also think there are guys who haven't gotten opportunity that still have the ability to offer a lot more. But yeah, that notion and like that, we don't have people are like, there's no stars in this draft. I don't understand, because they act like every draft is supposed to be like 96. Like, oh, if you don't got Kobe, AI, and Ray Allen, y'all are trash. Like, if you don't got LeBron, D-Wade, Melo, and Bosch, like, y'all aren't nice. Like, I don't agree with that notion. I think that, you know, there are obviously guys who get paid to say certain things about guys in college, but I mean, like, for the most part, you're talking about 19, 20-year-olds who still have a lot to learn and a lot to show. Like, there are some guys don't pick the right college system, and they're not allowed to go do what they do best. You know what I'm saying? So, but yeah, I think we've had a great year, and like, I always mess about it on Twitter, and I think that that kind of little motivation is good to have. Like, me and Ant were talking about it, like, yo, this is like, they told us we were going to be terrible, and like, we're obviously having great years, so it's cool for us.
That's Tyrese Haliburton. That's interesting. Some people don't pick the right college systems. He's right, and that kind of goes to one thing we constantly talk about, which is grading drafts. That's trash. This is a long clip here. He was asked how or what has he learned his rookie year?
You know, I think there's a lot. There's a lot to it. But I think there's this line that, like, when I was a kid, LeBron said it, and I think, like, Kyrie might have, like, also agreed with it, or, like, Melo or somebody, and I was like, how? You know what I'm saying? But the line was, there's a lot of guys in the NBA who don't, like, know how to play, like, basketball. You know what I'm saying? And that was something for me that I really learned this year. And no, do not, people, I hope people don't take this as subliminal shots at my teammates. This has nothing to do with the Sacramento Kings, but
we're talking in general about the 450 players
being, yes, exactly, yeah. There's just a lot of guys that don't understand, like, basic concepts, like, you know, pick and roll, like the right way to tag, like pick and roll coverages, just little things like that that opponents of mine that I see don't have the, like, aren't very good at it, and I can expose those things. That was obviously, that was, I think, the biggest shocker, the biggest thing that if I tell people, they probably wouldn't know. But other than that, the, you know, the obvious things of, you know, how strong everybody is, how big everybody is, that's surprising. But, you know, I think something about the NBA is it's a lot more simple to, like, a basketball mind. Like, to me, the NBA is just a lot of pick and roll and a lot of one-on-one get a bucket. You know what I'm saying? It's not like college and high school and AU and some, you play that team that runs the flex. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not running into that. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, end of the game, get the ball to your best player, get in a pick and roll, get the matchup you want and expose it. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And that, I think that was my kind of biggest realization that's going to allow me to work on the right things this summer as I get ready for year two.
I think the obvious follow-up question to your lesson learned is, who is the dumbest player you played against this year?
No, I don't, you know, I like to say, though, that there are, I think a hard spot in the NBA is to be a young big. I think that's hard in the NBA. Like, young bigs, they just got a lot to learn. It's a lot of, like, communication to tell me where the screen's coming from, to know what we're doing to certain guys. We're blitzing this guy. We're in a deep drop with this guy. For me, I think it's really difficult for young bigs. And I obviously play a lot of pick and roll in our offense. So for me, I'd say, like, young bigs are the guys that you can probably have, you know, the most fun with.
Oh. I told you it was a pretty loaded clip.
The first time I think I've ever heard a rookie say, you know, in some ways the NBA is easier than college. I want to get more into that clip when we get back. I will say this about Tyrese Halliburton. You old heads will remember Eddie Murphy's two comedy specials, Delirious and Raw. I forget which one it was. I think it was Delirious. Maybe it was Raw. Eddie was talking about something. I won't say what. You'll know what I'm talking about. And he was talking about how he had so much of it that he would walk down the street and some would even fall out of his pocket. And he'd pick it up and say, excuse me, that's mine, and put it back in his pocket. You know what I'm talking about. That's Tyrese Halliburton with basketball IQ. He has so much basketball IQ, it drips off of him. It rains down on him and drips off of him, and he'll be walking down the street and, oh, I dropped some basketball IQ. That's mine. Excuse me. Thank you very much. Let me pick that up. Let me put that back in my pocket. You hear him, and as Jay said earlier, the idea that Tyrese Halliburton will be an analyst when he gets done with basketball many, many years from now, yeah, at the least, that's what he will do. Who knows? I know this. I'll be driving around listening to him. An Hoblet truck. Yeah. Dodge summer sales event. You know, they talk about basketball IQ. Hoblet has automobile IQ. And what does that mean? That means they're smart enough to know that they will get you the best deals. But on top of that, everybody has a sale. Everybody has the newest, greatest thing. What makes Hoblet unique? They care about you when you drive off the lot. They're phenomenal people. I've been there. I've talked to them. Almost all of them. They're just good. They're family-owned and operated. And that's why people don't only buy one car, one truck from Hoblet. They buy them all from Hoblet. Right now, up to $5,000 MSRP off new 2021 Ram 1500 Bighorns or Laramies. Up to $3,500 off MSRP on new 2021 Ram 25 and 3500s. If they don't have your truck in stock, you can use the inbound sold list and secure your perfect truck. Listen, if it's not in stock, you can reserve one on the way. Over 30 Challengers of all types available, like the SXT with the blacktop package, the GTs, the Scat Packs. But there are no challengers to Hoblet when it comes to getting you a phenomenal deal. The only certified Ram Truck Center in the Sacramento Valley. No hassle, no pressure, ever dealership. With the best prices, the best selection, period.
Right? That was nice.
Coming up next.
All right, we got to get to the NBA playoffs. I want to recap that Tyrese audio a little bit as well. And I don't know, maybe at some point we'll get to this Pete Alonso audio we've had for, or a topic we've had for 3 days. A lot to get to. Final hour of the program next.